Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Halloween weekend. Unfortunately, the bars won't be hopping. But still, try and do the best you can. Get the kids candy and all of that. I'll be handling the trick-or-treaters my way tomorrow. 312-332-3776. JD's brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer of the Chicago Bears.
You got to handle the Halloween duties because your wife dared to go fishing.
It's on a fishing trip.
Should have been him fishing. He's the man,
yeah,
damn it.
Yeah.
That's his words.
You're the one bringing in the bread, pal. You're the one bringing in the fish. Why is she out there fishing?
She's way better at it than me.
You know what? That's not right, man. You got to put your foot down in that house. I don't know what's wrong with you. What happened to you?
Oh, my God.
What happened to you? Stand in there and just tell, like, you're not going. Stay with me. It's Halloween. I'm off this weekend. No TV. And you're out there fishing? I'll buy you a nice whitefish. Take that. Take that. What? I got a soup. I got a whitefish. Who's going to take care of me for dinner? Take that. Why don't you step in there and say something? There you are, Archie Saloon, just there with the lone warm beer. Hey, where's the wife today? She's out fishing. What? Gotta step in there, man. This is 2020. We turned the clock back as a country, so you might as well step in
there. You don't know Mindy very well, then.
Come on!
Anyway, 312-332-3776. JD joins us now. So, Jeff Dickerson, your favorite Halloween candy.
Favorite Halloween candy?
Take that.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh!
Because you had to eat the... Well, I can't even give you my candy before I get a... I get to take that? I mean, seriously?
Pretty much.
The reason why I like those is because you have to eat them right away or they melt. So that was the justification for when I would get one, I would open it up right away. And my son has taken my lead, by the way. Most of the candy is gone before he gets home.
Geez.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And those suckers went right in. And you could have about, 5 to 8 of those and feel pretty good. So I was a Reese's Peanut Butter Cups man.
You know, I like that. Where's Twizzlers on your list, sir?
I liked Twizzlers. You know, I was a big Twizzler guy when I used to go to the old movie theater. For kids that don't know what movie theaters are, they were back in our day where your parents would drop you off at the mall and you would go watch Ernest Goes to Jail and buy a big pack of Twizzlers. I think licorice is very underrated, don't you?
Yes, big part of sports radio for many years, licorice.
I think he passed away, licorice.
Oh, really?
Mike had the dog bark. Was that a first-time caller?
Yes.
Was it first-time, long-time? We'll get to burp, burp.
But he's still in my heart. Bark, bark. Right, Jigs?
Exactly right.
Show you right. JD, we want to get your thoughts about the Bears.
Oh, the Bear. You know, the White Sox did the Bear a favor yesterday because when that announcement came out about La Russa, all that anger that had been directed toward the Bear this week was forgotten, at least momentarily. It has not been a very feel-good week on the old Zoomerino. I mean, I can't tell you that the vibe in the building is bad because, you know, we're not in the building.
Yeah.
All we get are the Zoom calls. And I think Matt Nagy had kind of had enough yesterday. He was a little tired of the negative narrative, although, I mean, it just kind of is what it is. They're trying to remind people again they're 5-2, and they are in a pretty good spot in terms of the rest of their schedule and the NFC playoff picture. But I think you could tell that there's a lot of frustration. But here's the thing, though, guys. You know, on short weeks, the Bears are 5-0 under Matt Nagy. After losses, Cap, listen to this, 8-4 after losses. So there is precedent here where they can turn things around in a hurry. And I always tell people this. This is my most unscientific Bears barometer. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Should I have this sponsored? Whenever the city truly hates the Bears at a fever pitch,
mm-hmm.
they typically find a way to win the next week. I don't know what it is, But in my experience all these years, and we've done so many weeks like this, there have been so many, you know, franchise foundation shaking losses like we saw against the Rams on Monday night. We have covered so many of those. Whenever it seems like people hate the Bears the most, they respond with a win. So I would not be surprised if they win on Sunday. Dare I say, and Cap was taunting me on Twitter last week about my picks, dare I say, Cap, I picked the Bears to win on ESPN.com.
You did?
I did. A windy Soldier Field, a Saints team that I don't believe has played outdoors yet, with a very shaky defense. I picked the Bears by two.
Wow.
Take that.
I will take that. I hope you're right. I have to do the picks against Sylvie and Mark Potash in Potsy's column, and I picked the Saint to cover the four-point spread.
Ooh, that's a big cover on the road. Okay, all right.
Simply for this reason.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the change from Cody Whitehair to Sam Mustipher. I'm concerned about the inability to run the ball against a Saint defense that's really good against the run. I'm concerned about the wind gusting at 40 miles an hour and Nick Foles' inability to be accurate when many of the people, not accusing you, in the Chicago media painted this picture of this highly accurate, cerebral quarterback who's going to put Mitch on the bench, who's going to look amazing, and he's looked like hot garbage most of the time he's been out there.
Well, the offensive line has not helped his cause either there, Sparkle. So let's remember the offensive line has been a train wreck.
Yeah, same offensive line both guys had to deal with.
Well, I mean, James Daniels got hurt. Now you've got Sam Mustipher likely starting at center. So, yes, the offensive line has been bad all year. I'm also concerned about Allen Robinson. You know, he's probably going to be out with a concussion. He's not practiced yet this week. I'm concerned Khalil Mack. Now, he has an ankle injury after missing practice last week with a back injury. He hasn't practiced the last 2 days. Cordero Patterson has been out with a quad this week. I hear what you're saying. I mean, common logic would say that the Bears are going to lose this game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's this weird thing, this short week thing with the Bears, this coming off a loss thing with the Bears. And again, my very unscientific analysis here where when you hate the Bears the most is when they somehow surprise you with a victory. So, you know, the Saints are okay. They've won three in a row. Got off to kind of a bumpy start this year. But that's a team I think that can be beaten. And it's just, I don't know. It just wouldn't surprise me that on Monday, three of us are talking about a 6-2 Bears team. For as crazy as it sounds, it wouldn't stun me.
JD, what should the Bears' defense be wary of against the Saints' offense?
I think you start, of course, with the passing attack. I think that's number one.
From whom?
Well, I mean...
Great question.
It's a good question. I just don't think... I mean, I still think you got to ride with Breeze. I think Hill is he's a change of pace guy. And I think he is just perfectly slotted in that offense. And that's why I kind of figured that he was not going to get these big offers to leave to be someone starting quarterback. Sometimes the hardest thing in life, guys, is when you're in a great situation to acknowledge that you are in a great situation. Everyone always thinks the grass is greener on the other side. Sometimes it is not. So he is in a great spot. Sean Payton uses him very well. The Saints are still a very good team. I'm not saying it's a guarantee the Bears are going to win or anything. And of course that offense is going to cause you problems. I look at the Bears defensively. Again, I go back to Khalil Mack. You got to make sure that he's okay with that ankle injury. You know, Robert Quinn did not distinguish himself in that game against the Rams on Monday night by any means. Akeem Hicks, I know he is going to be motivated to come back and play better after all the penalties against the Rams on Monday night. And I think that was a defense that was disappointed with the second half. I mean, things got away from them. You can make the argument that, yes, they got worn down because the offense was so pitiful. But that's a pretty prideful group, guys. So again, I think they'll be ready to play. I don't think this will be a shock and awe type game. If this really is a shock and awe type game and they have nothing going offensively again and the defense is sloppy again, then you have to say, all right, this is going to be problematic here because they will not beat Tennessee 2 weeks from now on the road. I don't believe so. This is a game that is not a great matchup for them, but one that's a lot more winnable than Tennessee. It's a better matchup than Green Bay is going to be those 2 times they play them. So there's some pretty tough games coming up on the schedule. They got to get this one this weekend.
The trade deadline is Tuesday. And every few minutes when I look at Twitter, I see, oh, Seattle made another move, and Baltimore made another move, and this team made a move, and I saw the Ravens today gave $112 million total value of the deal to Ronnie Stanley to play left. Like, teams are using money, making trades, signing guys who haven't played but were once great. Dez Bryant, for example, Antonio Brown. Okay, are we not going to do anything?
Well, they've paid all their money. I mean,
you're telling me they can't go get an offensive lineman.
Well, I mean, you can get an offensive lineman, but I mean, are you going to be able to pry loose an offensive lineman that, first of all, who's going to trade you a good offensive lineman right now? I mean, the Ravens are showing you that, like, when you got a great left tackle, you sign them up. Cap, this offensive line, I'm telling you guys, I mean, it is a major problem. Because outside of James Daniels coming back next year, and, you know, Cody White here, of course, will be back, hope at some point this season with the calf injury, they're going to have, like, at least 2 to 3 new pieces on that offensive line. That's going to be a lot to do. But in terms of the Bears, guys, the money has been spent, except for Allen Robinson, and now he's got a concussion, which stinks. Because when's, you know, he's out there, every time he's out there getting whacked, I'm like, boy, a guy still doesn't have a contract, you know? But besides him, all these guys are paid. Cap, who isn't paid? Really? Like, who on that team isn't paid that is eligible to be paid? They've spent all that money. So extensions, except for Allen Robinson, and now with a concussion, I wouldn't think this is the timing for it. I don't think that's going to happen. They'll probably make maybe a minor move here or there. But I don't see a ton of help on the horizon. I think they believe that they're a contender. I think they believe they would love to make a deal, but finding that right deal to make is sometimes tricky.
JD, thanks for the knowledge. Have a great day.
You guys have a great weekend and enjoy the game.
You too. COVID caught up to the best player in college football. Hoodie's our football guru. What does this mean for Clemson? That's next.
Cap and J-Hood mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sport. Cap and J-Hood mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
All right. We got some controversy here, Cap. We'll get to this. We're going to pay this tease off, but we've got some anger in the studio here.
We do.
Absolutely do.
Emma so Guffey, turn your mic on.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Wow.
I want people to let me pull the curtain back. Cap sometimes forgets. Sometimes radio, sometimes TV.
Right.
Sometimes he forgets. He does both so often.
TV, I don't touch the mic.
Right. He doesn't. He swims in and out of it.
That's it.
Just like, wait, am I doing TV now or radio?
Oh, wait a minute. I can't hear myself. I got to turn the mic on. Or he catches me. So COVID caught up to the best player in college football. Trevor Lawrence.
Man.
Tested positive. He will miss the Boston College game tomorrow. That game is now off the board in Las Vegas.
Yes.
It was 32 at one point.
I would have taken Boston College since I know that Lawrence wasn't going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we see these stories mm-hmm. of these sports that don't have a dome or does not have a place where everyone can sit and, you know, and be sequestered until the next game, it's always at risk. You know, we are tempting fate every time that we see NFL players or college players out there. I love college football, but you can understand, like, especially some of these places in the South, and this is where I'm watching a lot of football, ACC, SEC, where you're still seeing a lot of people being together, the fans, and you're also asking 18 to 22-year-olds to stay safe, put a mask on. I feel like they're Superman.
But you would feel like Trevor Lawrence knowing, I'm the best player in the country, I'm trying to win a Heisman here, which has, you know, enormous marketing implications the rest of your life if you're one of that select group in the Heisman house. And you're going to be this amazing generational talent at quarterback, like that he would almost be in a bubble. Like nobody's getting near Trevor Lawrence. Not so much.
Watch some of these games. Just watch any random college game and see how many players on the sidelines are wearing masks. It's not me, man. I'm right. Superman. That's an old man disease. That's an old woman disease. We're going to be fine.
And guess what? You're not playing tomorrow.
Now, maybe it wasn't his, like, look, maybe he was just around teammates that had it. He got it from someplace. But it's just, it's so unfortunate because he's a lightning rod for college football.
Correct.
Not even an SEC player. He's an ACC player on an excellent Clemson team. So now we have to figure out, does he just miss this game? Does he miss the big game against Notre Dame? That thing was circled as soon as
that
schedule came out. Is that in South Bend? Let's check it. Let's check to see where that game is. But that is a big game.
I think it's South Bend.
It tells the story of where Notre Dame is, too, right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. That will tell a great story on who the Irish are. That game is in South Bend.
Boy.
On the 7th of November.
Can you imagine what that would have been like? No pandemic. Clemson at Notre Dame. It would be just alive.
Yeah. And more than likely, they'll take on each other twice.
Right.
Because I think Notre Dame is going to play Clemson in the ACC title game.
Correct.
But just, you know, that's just unfortunate. Now, how do we look at this? How do you retroactively look at the days that when did he contract it? And then will he be available on the 7th? Is this a Saban cure? Or is he going to be gone for a couple of weeks?
See, that's the amazing thing. He's already talking about, yeah, I'll be ready for Notre Dame. How do you know that?
That wouldn't be for the normal person.
Correct.
See?
If, God forbid, you or I tested positive, we ain't back here for a while. We may work from home if we're okay. We ain't back walking in that door next week.
I wonder, will he be tested a couple more times? You know, the whole thing with Saban is it was a positive test. Then
he took
three negatives, and he was back on the field,
mm-hmm.
in which he didn't have to be, but he was there anyway.
Right.
So I wonder how that works, too. So that's a big blow for college football.
It really is a big blow, because he is a lot of fun to watch play.
Now, will they win? Danny's already in love with a player that hasn't even seen the field yet. Danny, you're in love with the backup to Trevor Lawrence.
I don't even know the kid's name. This is the power of Scott Van Pelt, right? I'm not a huge college football guy, admittedly.
You should be.
But last night, I'm watching SVP, and they have on one of the guys that's calling the game. Forgive me, I forgot his name. But he starts talking about Trevor Lawrence and the COVID, and then he starts talking about his backup, who's this freshman kid who's 6'4", 240 pounds. He calls him a cross between Big Ben Roethlisberger, Michael Vick, and Jamarcus Russell. And they start showing this kid's highlights. And then they talk about what an arm he has. And I think to myself, Clemson's just reloading. This kid, and I'm watching the highlights thinking to myself, this guy's a beast. He's just bulldozing people. He's throwing the ball like 60 yards off of 1 foot. And I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be more entertaining than Trevor Lawrence playing.
DJ Ukulele.
Ukulele.
Yes, that's who it is.
And he's a true freshman.
True freshman, 6'4", 250 from Bellflower, California. And that's how you reload. You don't know what's on that bench.
And the guy talking to SVP said he's going to be a multiple Heisman Trophy winner.
Wow.
Not even going to miss Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, let's slow down on the multiple Heismans. There's a bunch of really great players every year. And how many guys have won multiple? Archie Griffin is the only one, right?
Tim Tebow. Didn't he win multiple?
Did Tebow win two?
I think just one. I think Archie still has it. I think it's still Archie.
Archie
and ukulele is going to get two.
Ukulele.
Is that what you just said?
Ukulele.
Yeah, ukulele.
Never, oh, I thought you said ukulele.
I like him because he's a small guitar. He's got a little guitar.
You ever hear Somewhere Over the Rainbow on ukulele? It's beautiful.
I have. It was at a restaurant.
And you were there at the end of the Walk as One Chicago, and you and Mike Thomas, our boss, went, there's a store right there that's a ukulele store.
Like, yeah.
I would never think to have a ukulele store.
He got a kick out of that.
He did.
It was interesting.
Highland Park's the ukulele capital of Illinois.
So I didn't know that until I was there. You know, I did not know that. Said, Danny, get me a ukulele. This is fun. So we have controversy. We've got beef in here. Are you realize that?
We do.
We have a beef here. So I put on Twitter, @TweetJHood, @CapJHood, something from ad free.
Mm-hmm.
Head free something. And it was talking about America's favorite Halloween candy by state. I always loved these when I was working the night. This is how you'd fill time. You just go state by state looking at candy.
Tell me about the state of Washington.
Eric Ostrowski would go state by state. All right, here we go. And he'd just go through it. And so it says here for the state of Illinois, Crunch Nestle Crunch is the number one candy for millennials and Gen Z.
What triggered Meller? He's swearing on Twitter. He's so mad.
How dare you, Meller? Watch the language.
This map is absolute BS.
Uh-oh.
You buying it? You look across the map, and very few states overlapping. This is just a big a marketing ploy by Big Candy to get out the word, hey, you're not buying enough Airheads, Swedish Fish, gummy trolls. Get out of here. I'm not buying Peppermint Patty, really? Yeah. Peppermint Patty is the number one candy in three states on the East Coast. I don't buy that for a second.
Four states have cookies and cream Hershey's as their favorite. Have you ever seen a human being buy a cookies and cream Hershey's?
Because I said to Hoodie, what is that?
Four states.
Snickers Almond is one of the favorite candies, but not Snickers. Snickers, nowhere to be found.
Okay, multiple states have... Hoodie, I can't zoom in on this. You can on your iPad. What did you tell me in the state of Nebraska it is?
Okay, it's in North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska. Oh, Airheads.
Airheads. Yeah. You ever had an Airhead?
I have. That's a taffy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Look, it's a solid candy. Yeah. No one's putting it as their number one. At least not for an entire state. I call absolute BS on this.
Nerds is a popular...
Still?
Nerds.
Wait. What state has Nerds as their number one?
What is that? Delaware over there?
Yes. How do I see it there? Yes, Delaware.
Oh, I guess, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Look, one state has Nerds? I don't think so. That's their way of telling you, hey, in case you've forgotten about Nerds, go buy yourself a box of Nerds.
Maryland has Dove.
Well, just look at Illinois. Nestle's Crunch.
Yeah.
That's not our favorite candy bar.
It's pretty good.
Nerds. It's in Delaware. That's a bunch of malarkey. Come on, man.
It's all these obscure candies that you occasionally buy, but they're not the favorites. This is such...
Texas. Nestle's Crunch. Yo.
It's a marketing ploy. The power of suggestion.
Yeah, so we're looking at this in our listing area for those in Indiana. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is your number one among Gen Z. Reese's is the number one candy. Crunch, Nestle Crunch in Illinois. Is that Wisconsin? M&M's?
M&M's. Okay. Regular.
Regular M&M's. Michigan is Reese's as well. Mm-hmm. Ohio is Airheads. You mentioned Texas is Nestle Crunch. Florida, by the way, it's very strange. Florida, as well as Washington State and California, that Hershey's Cookie and Cream.
And Hawaii, four states.
That's strange.
Really strange. I mean, Sour Patch Kids in Nevada.
Is that the white chocolate Kit Kat? The white chocolate Kit Kat? Really?
Whoa, where's that?
What is that? Is that Alabama? I'm trying to figure that out.
It's right next to Louisiana.
Yeah.
Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia. Yes.
Yep. Or maybe that's Arkansas. Is that Arkansas right there?
I don't want
More entertaining than the candy thing would be to see how many of these states Cap can identify.
Wow.
I see Illinois. That's where I'm home.
That's it.
Take that.
I could tell you what conference of college football I'm looking at, but if you pin me down on the exact state, that's where it gets a little murky.
No question.
That's SEC country.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. It's right there. And by the way, the York Peppermint Patty, very popular in the ACC.
Very.
Very popular in the Carolinas.
Favorite candy of Trevor Lawrence.
I guess that is the case. So what is the candy for Illinois? What do you think it is, Cap? What should be the candy for the state of Illinois?
I would think, and I don't like it, but I would think Reese's would be number one in almost every state. I think Reese's is a wildly popular
candy. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's weak, but that's fine.
I think you're right. That's a strong showing. Routinely, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are a strong top finisher. Snickers, I think, is usually a strong finisher.
What state is it that has Haribo as the number one candy?
Haribo.
Huh?
Haribo Gummy Bears.
Haribo?
Haribo.
Okay, whatever. Candystore.com,
which is a website where you go to buy candy, did a ranking by state, and they say Illinois' favorite candy based on the amount they sell per state is M&M's. Just plain M&M's. Indiana Skittles.
Surprising, Iowa's got the plain Butterfinger.
Yeah.
For there.
It's another bad candy. I mean.
Butterfinger.
The Butterfinger's bad. The way it gets like caked into your teeth. All toffeed in there.
When's the last time you had a Butterfinger? You know they did like a whole new recipe of it like 5 years ago or something.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's definitely more chewy than it used to be.
Butterfingers kicked into the teeth of Iowans, huh? How could you tell?
They don't have teeth.
Well, Whoppers in Utah. Yeah, no. Hard pass. 312-332-3776. Shot or no shot? Next.
Take that.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776. 950. The best trends of the weekend with Carm.
People, let me tell you about my best trends.
It's the one. I can't remember the
one. Either one.
We got to sing that song for his open. All right, time to play shot, no shot. Here's Danny.
That's why I say amen, I
shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say amen, I shot.
Daniel, fire away, kid.
Gentlemen. Running the ball is not going to get any easier for the Bears this weekend as they face the New Orleans Saints. The Saints have limited opponents to 89.7 rushing yards per game and 3.47 yards per carry. That ranks fourth and third, respectively, in the league. Last year, David Montgomery had 2 carries for 6 yards in the Bears' infamous 7-carry game. David Montgomery's lowest rushing total this year was 27 yards on 10 carries against the Colts. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, David Montgomery goes under the 27 yards on 10 carries against this stout Saints rushing defense.
That's a no shot.
Yeah.
He'll be over. He'll have 28.
Yeah. on 8 carries.
Yeah, so that's a no shot. Definitive, Danny, 28 yards.
I will go no shot as well. I'm going to predict that he gets 41 yards.
Oh, for heaven. What is it? Price is Right? What are you doing?
Take that.
Just a minute. You just went Price is Right with me. And by the way, Danny, quick sidebar. May I approach?
Yes, Your Honor.
You see Price is Right in prime time? Did you see this a couple of nights ago?
I did not.
A couple of nights ago, Price is Right was on, and Let's Make a Deal was on at 7 and 8 o'clock on CBS.
With Monty Hall.
That Monty Hall.
Was it Drew Carey, The Price is Right?
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? You've jumped a shark. You're putting Price is Right on prime time. Boy, I said, you know what? You've just, I think it wasn't against the debate. Maybe against Monday Night Football.
You mailed it in.
You're done. Let's put a white flag up for 3 hours.
When he says, may I approach, Danny, you're the judge. He's not Your Honor. He's approaching you.
It doesn't matter who the judge is. I was the judge there. Still, my respect for him is I say Your Honor to Hoodie.
Oh, my God.
Have any of you sampled Supermarket Sweep?
The new one?
The new one, yes.
I've not.
Okay, I have not either, but I DVR.
Where's that on?
I've never ABC, even heard of it. ABC 7.
You ABC, heard of it? I've heard of it. I love it. It's great.
You're the worst.
It's on the best.
You are the worst.
I think it's on Sunday against, like, it's in that little window, like 7 o'clock between when the football games end and before the next one, like right when the next one starts. But I haven't watched it yet. But I used to love the old Supermarket Sweep.
Mm-hmm. Still comes on.
You know, it's a great
game show channel.
Oh, mm-hmm. You know, it's on Netflix too now. They like season 2 is on Netflix.
You know, it's a great show called The Chase, where they have the beast against the panel, and it's a trivia thing. It's amazing.
I remember that. That was in the Delvet era. He was the one doing the chasing.
Yes.
I remember that very well.
Guys, let's get to Kim Kardashian, shall we? Kim, as I call her, Kimmy. Kimmy. Kim Kardashian's made a lot of news this week. So for her 40th birthday celebration, she rented out a private island. She boarded all her friends on a Boeing 777, 40 of them, to this private island. She's made a lot of news because she tweeted out, quote, after 2 weeks of multiple health screens and asking everyone to quarantine, I surprised my closest inner circle with a trip to a private island where we could pretend things were normal just for a brief moment in time. She's getting a lot of flack for that. My question is, though, for you guys, shot or no shot, if you could, you would board 40 of your best friends on a private 777 to a private island for a nice weekend party.
Not 40. That's a no shot. Not 40. I don't have 40 friends. I have all my friends on my right hand. Pardon the expression. I would say not 40. 10? Not 40.
Yeah, I'm exactly with him. No shot.
Holy cow.
I don't have 40 I would want to be around. Yeah, I'm...
Does she do it for you?
No.
She doesn't?
No.
Oh, she
doesn't.
She's restaurant quality.
Danny's, you know, huge Kim Kardashian fan. I'm not. I don't like anything about the Kardashians.
How about her?
No, doesn't do it for me. Sorry. But I would...
Wow.
Yeah, like 10 sounds like the right number.
How about that? Would you do 40?
Would I do 40? No. I don't think I would do 40.
10?
10 I would do, because then that's like a vacation, right? That there's a difference between like us taking a cool vacation to Vegas or to a beach or whatever and hanging out and having a good time. 40 people, all of a sudden it becomes like work. And it becomes if you're the center of attention, it becomes a job to glad hand and greet and spend time with everybody, and then you can't enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I would say 10 is easy to manage, and boy, just a private island, no COVID. COVID? What about that?
Well, it's COVID time. I mean, that's why they had a quarantine, so they could feel normal. Like, she's getting a lot of flack for we're flying to a private island on a private plane to feel normal.
I would say my best 10. I would not have 40 people because it becomes a thing. I want to be able to enjoy it.
Would anyone on this show be amongst the top 10?
Yes.
All right.
Danny?
That's all I got for you guys, Rashad and Rashad. I don't want to take away time from Carm and our best friends.
All right.
What do you think about that? If you said 10, how many of us would go?
All right, so Carm is going to be coming in.
I don't know how he doesn't think Kim Kardashian's attractive. It doesn't matter if you don't like what she says or what she stands for or all that, but just strictly looking at her.
You wouldn't bring me along?
I would bring you along.
What about?
100%.
Meller?
All right,
I'm going along. He drives by my house randomly. You know I'm going on the trip. There's no doubt he's not going without me.
So he picked me over you. So Cap does not mind the long explanation to his friends. Cap, a moment, please. Who's the black guy? He's my friend. What do you mean? He's my co-host. He's my partner. I don't know. I'm uncomfortable. Take that. So you don't mind the long explanation over me, right? You don't mind?
Because
you know you'd have to explain me.
No shot.
You'd have to explain.
No shot.
I'm just telling you. If it's Danny or Jeff, like, it's like, ah. But me, you know.
No shot.
Cap a moment.
Is that a former bear?
Who is this guy?
When did Alex Brown gain so much weight?
Oh, my God. Spice Adams is on the plane. Where's his three-piece suit? Odd. Very odd. Did you see who Cap brought on the plane? Is he losing it? He's not in any foursome we've ever been in. Strange. He's changed.
Wow. Trends next.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
He's Hoodie. I'm Cap, paging Carmen DeFalco to the studio. Let's go to I-Town Pat. He is in. I have no idea what that's.
I test you.
Well, that's his. Okay.
Oh, sorry. I'll point out your mistakes next time.
Oh! Whoa! Did I say Danny? Jeez. Lighten up, Sparky.
Don't worry. Man. Mentally noted.
I'll bring you coffee tomorrow morning when I come by. What's up, I-Town Pat?
Good morning, boys. Hey, Hoodie, you are a funny dude, but can you do us all a favor who's listening to you guys and stop making Cap laugh the way he does? It really kind of creeps me out a little bit. I know it's Halloween and all, but it's a little weird.
Hey, I'm just going to be me, kid. That's it.
We know that, you know, you're obsessed with Danny Zimmerman, but can you, maybe stop creeping him out too and hanging out by the end of his driveway just to see him?
Hey, my wife's out of town and I on a fishing trip. I will absolutely be going by Danny's house tomorrow.
100%. I don't like to be alone, so I may even drive by there tonight. I may take an Uber there, Pat, and a cocktail.
Pat, as long as you're laughing, that's the whole point.
I'm not laughing.
All right, then goodbye.
All right, bye.
Okay.
See you later.
Fine. All right. Remember, we're here to entertain the happy and the miserable.
Correct.
Both. Yeah.
The both.
That's what we're here for.
And that leads us to our friend, Carmen DeFalco.
Who what up?
Is in the studio for the trends of the weekend. How are you?
I'm good.
Can I ask you about a few games, sir?
You know it. Fire away. Some good games this weekend.
You know what? I'll start from the top, man. I'll start with the Steelers in a main event spot.
That's the game.
Steelers at Baltimore. How do you see this at M&T Bank Stadium?
That's the game of the weekend. I think Steelers, of course, the last undefeated team left. I've got so much on this game, I don't know where to begin.
All right.
Let's start with Tomlin as a dog. Did it again last week. Small dog. They held on. They won. Since Mike Tomlin took over as coach in Pittsburgh, when they're an underdog, they cover about 64% of the time, guys. 65, 19, and 2. Numbers get even better inside the division. How about 14, 6, and 1 when taking points inside the division? That is about 69%. He's been a money-making machine inside the division as an underdog. But now I'm going to counter that with another trend, and then we can maybe talk specifically about the game a little bit and these two great defenses. This could be the biggest factor in the game, guys. Rest. Steelers are playing the second of a back-to-back road game inside the conference. Baltimore's coming off of the bye. Do you know what John Harbaugh's record is coming out of the bye in his coaching career?
No, what is it?
9-2 straight up and against the number. 9-2. Mm-hmm. They are almost unbeatable under John Harbaugh coming out of the bye. Steelers have one weakness on defense right now. It's their pass defense, and that's been one area of weakness for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense coming off his MVP year. They haven't moved the ball well through the air really at all. Will they be able to exploit it? I think they will. I actually like Baltimore in this game, minus the points. But these are two great defenses. They're always close. Since
line today is what?
Four. Since these two guys were getting now in the money, this line dropped because there was tons of money early in the week on Pittsburgh. And so anytime you start to see that, I like to be on the other side of the public a lot. Most of the public money is on the Steelers here. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to back John Harbaugh. These games are always close. Since these two got to their respective stops, Harbaugh got there a year after Tomlin did in Pittsburgh. So since 08, average margin of victory, closest of any divisional matchup in the NFL over that span, 7.3 points per game. So they're always close. Should be the game of the week. I'm going to like Baltimore this weekend.
Can I ask you about a college game?
Yes, absolutely.
Coach Orgeron, you're on the road.
We beat the hell out of that coronavirus, I'll tell you that right now. We're looking ahead of Alabama. No, we're not. I'll tell my boy, don't look ahead at Alabama.
LSU's tough to figure out right now. I got to be honest. They got a quarterback injury. It's not a game I'm gonna look to play at all. I mean, but I think there's a tricky scheduling spots here for LSU and Bama. Even Bama, you know, laying a huge number against Mississippi State. And Mississippi State has been terrible, other than its defense, since that opening win against LSU.
How's that air raid working
out? That air raid ain't working right now down there. They can't score points.
Yeah.
But catching 30, you know, Bama's got the bye and then the LSU game. You know, LSU's got in a similar spot here. It could be a little bit flat. I don't like the way Auburn's played. Not a game I want to touch at all, to be honest with you. So I don't have too much of a feel one way or another on that one, Cap. I got to be honest. Looking forward to a couple of weeks, though, when it is LSU-Bama, just to see if LSU can kind of get some things on track and be competitive in that game in a couple of weeks.
Back to the NFL, I'm hoping that you can give me a trend or what the sharps are thinking when it comes to the Rams and the Dolphins. LA team, short week traveling to Miami.
Long cross-country trip.
So how's that work?
Good point. It's a very good point, Hoodie. You know, they played Monday night. Now you got to cross the country. Some teams have done surprisingly well in recent years. I don't know what coaches are doing differently. I don't know if it's they're more in tune with sleep schedules and players getting rest or what. But like, you know, we talk about Pete Carroll all the time. What they've done in the East Coast, early window playing breakfast football in the last 5-6 years is staggering. And Sean McVay's been pretty successful at it too. But it is a short week. It's a lot of travel. Since their 0-7 start last year, guys. The Fish are 8-7 straight up. They're 9-5 against the number when they take points. I mean, they are a feisty group. I'll give you one stat, though. Aaron Donald against two rookie offensive linemen and a rookie quarterback could be trouble for the Dolphins. The Rams have not lost a game to a rookie quarterback since they drafted Aaron Donald in 2014. They're 5-0 against rookie quarterbacks with Aaron Donald. So that could be the one deciding factor there. Not a game I'm going to play. My suspicion is the Rams are good enough to go ahead and cover that number, but it's not one I'm going to touch this weekend.
Yeah, Tom Flores' kid doing a great job in Miami.
Stop it.
Wow. Something about Flores, man. They know how to coach. They are a scrappy group. I mean, honestly, they've got a winning record since that 0-7 start last year.
The Jets are awful.
Awful. You want a number on? You want some numbers on that?
20.
Yeah, you're getting 20.
19 and a half.
All right, so according to the Pro Football Reference data, guys, this will be just the 17th time since the merger. You know, that's 50 years.
Yep.
17th time since the merger that a team is potentially going to lay 19 points or more. In the previous 16 matchups, the underdog has never won a game, but the dog has covered 13 times. So 13-3 against the spread. You know, KC has a non-conference game on deck, so I wouldn't even say they're like looking ahead at anything necessarily, but it's just a lot of points to cover in the NFL. I do think NFL teams feel a little disrespected when they see numbers like this. They're brutal, quite frankly. Maybe it's worth some couch change just because it's so many points. Again, 13-3 since the merger against the number when underdogs this large get that many points.
The other game I'm looking at in college is Ohio State-Penn State.
That's a good game too, Hoodie.
So what do you think of that? In Happy Valley, Ohio State seems to be far and above anyone else in the Big Ten, but how do you see that with the Buckeyes on the road?
I wonder how much Penn State's loss last week affects them because and under normal circumstances, you could suffer a loss. I don't think you can. I think Penn State's chances are kaput after that, to be honest with you. And not having a full house in Happy Valley could change this a little bit. The trend I like here is just how close these games have been, though, recently. Now, the Buckeyes have won three straight in the series. But the last 4 years, guys, like James Franklin's done a good job in this spot. The last 4 years, the games have been decided by a total of 16 points. We can all do the math on that. That's four points a game. They've all been close. You know, they're like they've been right there. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to close the last 3 years as they've lost all three. I think Penn State's going to keep this close. Could be foolish because the letdown from last week could be too much. And Ohio State, I do think, is clearly better than everybody else. But Penn State can still play pretty good defense. And I like the Nittany Lions a little bit here getting double-digit points just because the recent trends say these games have historically been very close.
Carm, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in exactly 2 minutes.